السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد، كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وصحابته المنتجبين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، قال ربي بما أغويتني لأزينن لهم في الأرض ولأغوينهم أجمعين إلا عبادك منهم المخلصين. إبليس said, My Lord, since you have caused me to err, I shall surely make things seem beautiful for them on earth, and I shall cause them to err altogether, except your sincere servants, among them amanna billah, sadaqallahu al-aliyyul azim. Oftentimes in our lives, we find ourselves having to adopt a certain posture or act in a specific way depending on our circumstances. For example, we find that oftentimes we must adopt a posture of formality when dealing with strangers, right? We sort of teach our kids this as well, that, you know, not to be immediately trusting, completely trusting, to be cautious if you're dealing with a stranger, a person who you don't know, you have no information about, right? To be kind of formal with them. Or, for instance, we find ourselves in the workplace having to adopt a posture of professionalism, right? There's certain etiquette. There are certain expectations of things that we say and we don't say, things that we do and we don't do in the workplace, amongst our colleagues at work. Or we may find ourselves, for instance, having to act in a certain way with certain members of society, for instance, being playful with children, right? You don't act formal with a child. You don't act professional with a child. A child, you act playfully with this child. And so depending on our circumstances, our context, we'll adopt a certain posture, we'll act in a specific way. Sometimes we find that these acts that we do, the posture that we adopt, goes to an extreme. We take it to an extreme. And it does not necessarily reflect our true selves, our inner selves, our thoughts, our feelings. We act in a way that doesn't reflect what's inside our hearts or what's inside our minds. They say that one day there was a man sitting in the mosque, in the masjid, and he noticed that the donation box was going around. It was coming towards him, a stingy man. And so as he noticed the box coming towards him, he got kind of nervous, right? His palms started to sweat, he started to fidget. It got closer and closer to him. So it landed in his lap, in his hands. And, you know, everyone's looking, his neighbors are kind of looking. He looks around, he sees everyone's looking at him, right? They're expecting something from him. And so, you know, begrudgingly, he puts his hand in his pocket and he pulls out a $1 bill. You know, and he looks at it very sadly, kind of, he bids the final farewell to this dollar bill and he puts it in the basket. And then he passes the basket on. When he passes the basket on, he notices someone tapping him on his shoulder. So he turns around and he notices one of the brothers who's sitting behind him. He hands him a huge wad of cash, hundreds and twenties, just a big wad of cash. So he takes this wad of cash and he stops the basket. He says, hold on, hold on. He takes the wad of cash and he throws it into the basket and then he gives it back. Then he turns back to the man behind him and he says, brother, Jazakallah khairah, may Allah bless you for your generosity and your kindness. The man tells him, no, no, don't thank me. This money belongs to you. It fell out of your pocket. Sometimes we find that a person who's internally, you know, feeling stingy, they're not generous. Their feelings, their thoughts are not intended to display generosity. They may act in a generous way, right? Because of certain circumstances, there's pressure around them. That act of generosity may or may not necessarily reflect one's true self, how one is thinking, how one is feeling. They say that if we want to know who a person really is, we should ask their family members and those closest to them. Because we may act one way in public, but another way in private. We often find ourselves doing so in our lives. We know the famous hadith by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. He says, khayrukum, khayrukum li ahlih. He tells his companions, the best of you are the ones who are best toward their family members. Now there's a wisdom here. What's the wisdom? The Prophet here, peace be upon him and his family, he's saying that it might be easy for us to be kind, to be gentle, to be well-mannered, good-mannered with strangers, with people who we don't know, with people who we don't necessarily spend a lot of time with. Right? You don't see the person. You sit in, for instance, you sit in an Uber and you're with the driver and you're very polite. You're very nice, or the driver might be very polite to you. They're very nice to you. Why? Perhaps because, you know, they're only spending a few minutes with you. You're only spending a few minutes with them. You're not going to see them again, most likely. So it's really easy for you to be polite, to be well-mannered, to be kind. The real test, the real difficulty is if we're able to maintain that good behavior, we're able to maintain that kind of posture with those closest to ourselves, those who we spend the most time with our family members, with our spouse, with our children, with our parents, with our siblings, with our friends, those closest to us, right? And so, you know, this is why we find that there is so much emphasis. This is why we're told that if we really want to get to know someone, we should ask their family members about them. Family members will tell us what kind of person this is, their true self, how they act under various circumstances. Or they say, if you want to get to know someone, travel with them. Right? Because during travel, you know, things change. Not everything is great. There are delays in the airport, right? Things don't go as planned all the time. We get hungry, we get thirsty, we don't get enough rest, and so on and so forth. And so sometimes you might see the quote-unquote true colors of a person when you spend that time with them. Yet we know that the keys to success, the keys to success are in maintaining sincerity, are in maintaining a state of integrity, being genuine, not allowing our circumstances to change us, not to act in one way based on our circumstances and in another way based on other circumstances. This is why Islam encourages us to pursue sincerity, to develop a state of sincerity in our hearts and minds, in our lives, in our actions. Sincerity, essentially the core of this idea of ikhlas, maintaining ikhlas, is that we don't allow our circumstances to change us. That's simply the basis of ikhlas. It's that we don't allow our accumulation of wealth to change us. Sometimes some people will find that they may exhibit generosity. They may be polite, they may be good, but if they receive a certain amount of wealth, they suddenly make a large amount of wealth, that might change them. They might shift from being generous to being stingy. It happens with some people. Others know that wealth does not change them. Some of us, we may know individuals who perhaps there was a time that they were not wealthy, they did not have money, but then they became wealthy, yet that change did not change their posture. They continued to be generous. They continued to be kind. Or they continued to express humility. So that circumstance, whether it's wealth, whether it's knowledge, sometimes we find that a person gains knowledge. They may get a specific degree, academic degree, or they may become, you know, a scholar, and suddenly they change from humility to, God forbid, arrogance or pride, thinking that they're better than others. Sincerity, ikhlas, is when we do not allow the various circumstances to change us, to make us act in a different way. When we examine the lives of the prophets, our holy prophet, his purified progeny, the good companions, we find that in their lives, they expressed sincerity, they expressed ikhlas. They were the same inside and out. We find this in their lives, when we examine their lives. These early days of the month of Sha'ban are the days in which we celebrate the births of the third Imam, Al-Imam Al-Husayn, his half-brother Al-Abbas, and the fourth Imam, Al-Imam As-Sajjad, peace of Allah be upon them all. And when we examine their lives, we find this is a major characteristic, a major trait that is prevalent in their lives, that they express sincerity. Imam Hussein was sincere. Imam Hussein's circumstances did not change him when he was living in a time of ease and comfort, and when he was living in a time of difficulty. This did not change his sincerity and his pursuit of truth and justice. He maintained this. His dependency on God, his faith in God, it did not shift, change based on his circumstances. Sometimes we find that our faith in God might change depending on whether we are experiencing easy times or difficult times. Right? It might change. Imam Hussein teaches us how to be genuine and sincere in our faith. And this is why he is known that even during that tragedy of Karbala, the Imam announces, he says, هَوَّنَ عَلَيَّ مَا نَزَلَ بِي أَنَّهُ بِعَيْنِ اللَّهِ. What makes this tragedy, this difficulty, easier for me is that it occurs under the sight of God. God is watching. God is there. There's a faith, there's a dependency on God that remains. Imam Hussein teaches us this sincerity through his pursuit of freedom from enslavement. This is why he turns to the army that is attacking him, and he says to them, إِن لَمْ يَكُنْ لَكُمْ دِينَ, if you do not have a religious foundation, if you do not fear God, you are attacking the Prophet's family, the Prophet's grandson. If this is not there, فَكُونُوا أَحْرَارًا فِي دُنْيَاكُمْ, at least be free in your world. Don't be a slave to a dictator. Don't be a servant to your whims. At least be free. Here Imam Hussein is teaching us the lesson of being sincere towards freedom, towards the pursuit of freedom, towards the pursuit of faith in God, towards truth, towards justice. His brother Al-Abbas teaches us sincerity in altruism. Altruism meaning putting the needs of others before ourselves. Oftentimes, it's easier for us to put the needs of others before ourselves when we're not faced with difficulties, right? If I'm not very hungry, if I'm not starving, I can wait until, you know, my spouse or my children or my friends or someone else eats, right? Imagine you're at a gathering and there's a lot of people, right? You're hungry, but you're not famished, you're not starving. It might be easier for you to say, you know what? There are other people who are hungry. Let them eat first. I'll eat last. It might be easier. The real challenge of expressing altruism, putting the needs of others before myself, is when I'm faced with difficulty. Al-Abbas shows us sincerity. That at that most difficult time, when he himself is thirsty and in need, that he puts the thirst of others before himself. This is sincerity. This is ikhlas. This is maintaining a true spirit, an integral spirit, in and out. And in fact, what's interesting is that the Quran, when it gives us the story of Iblis, Satan, in various places in the Quran, God discusses this story, especially that which is related to when the inhabitants of the heavens, they were commanded to prostrate before Adam. God commanded them to prostrate, to do sujood before Adam. This story is mentioned very clearly in the Quran. We find that Iblis, he slipped. Right? God tells us, God asks Iblis. قَالَ يَا إِبْلِيسِ مَا لَكَ أَلَّا تَكُونَ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ Oh Iblis, why is it that you did not participate in prostration? You're the only one who did not perform this act of prostration. Iblis answers. The Quran gives us the reply. قَالَ لَمْ أَكُنْ لِأَسْجُدَ لِبَشَرٍ خَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونٍ I am not going to be amongst those who prostrate towards a human being whom you created from clay, from mud. Meaning what? Meaning that you've created me. The tradition tells us that Iblis was a jinn, and that the jinn are created from fire. And he saw himself, and another verse in the Quran tells us this, that I am better than him. أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ I am better than he is. خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ You created me from fire, you created him from clay, from dust. I am better than him. So I'm not going to prostrate before someone who you've created from clay. Now, the traditions, the reports, the ahadith, they tell us that Iblis was no regular inhabitant of the heavens. He wasn't just like any of the angels, regular angels there that was commanded. We are told through the tradition that Iblis had assumed a great position, that of a teacher, that he would teach the inhabitants of the creation, the heaven. He was a teacher. Yet he was not able to maintain. He became insincere. He lost his sincerity, although he had been worshiping God for God knows how long. He had been maintaining worship of God, devotion to God. Yet he allowed this change of circumstances when God commanded him to perform an act. He allowed this change of circumstances to lead him to insincerity. He slipped. He slipped. How can I, in my position as a teacher, as a great inhabitant of the heavens, how can I prostrate before Adam? This is impossible. And so he lost that sincerity. He slipped. But ironically, when we continue reading the verses of the Quran here, we find that Iblis himself recognized the power of sincerity. Despite slipping and becoming insincere, he recognized the power of sincerity. He continues, the verses continue, right? So God told him, since you did not listen, you did not obey, you are cast out of the heavens. You must leave the heavens, and you will be cursed until the day of judgment. And then Iblis, he replies, he says, oh my Lord, give me time until the day of judgment. And God says, okay, I'll grant you time until the day of judgment. And then Iblis, he replies. He says, قَالَ رَبِّ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Because of this act, I in turn will make it my mission, my objective, to beautify for your creation, to beautify this life for them, to make it seem very beautiful, to seduce them with it. Right? لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ بِمَا أَغْوَيْتَنِي لَأُزَيِّنَنَّ لَهُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ أَجْمَعِينَ. And I will mislead them all. It's going to be my objective to mislead all of your creation. But then he makes an exception himself. He says, إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. Except your sincere servants. Your sincere servants, those who possess sincerity, I have no power over them. I'll try to mislead them, but I know I am incapable of misleading them. Why? Because they are fortified, they are equipped with ikhlas, with sincerity. And because they're equipped with sincerity, I have no control over them. And this is why the tradition emphasizes that we work on developing sincerity. We work on developing ikhlas. And one way to do so is to be humble, brothers and sisters, to remind ourselves of the importance of humility. That despite where we are, what we achieve in this life, it could be wealth, it could be prestige, it could be knowledge, it could be status, it doesn't matter, whatever it may be, that we are reminded of humility, that we are humble. We do not allow our circumstances to change us. That we act with generosity at home, in private and in public. We act with kindness in private and in public. We act with loyalty in private and in public. That we continue to do so. And we remember our origin, where we came from, and our destination. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to inspire our hearts and minds with sincerity. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa al-ladhina amanu wa amilu al-salihati. Wa tawasaw bil-haqi. Wa tawasaw bil-sabr.